Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 57, stanzas 2 and 3. What man shall the hill of Jehovah ascend, and who in the place of his presence attend? The man of pure heart, and of hands without stain, who swears not to falsehood, nor loves what is vain, who swears not to falsehood, nor loves what is vain. 2 and 3 of Psalter 57.
Thank you. The portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, and are of the first chapter and the second chapter, the first four verses. Hebrews 1 and the beginning of Hebrews 2. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, Let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, thou who hast laid the foundations of the earth, and thou who hast stretched out the heavens, thou art very great. Thy greatness, as we have heard it in this morning hour, is unsearchable. There is no one, not in the heavens nor in the earth, that is able to fully comprehend the greatness of thy glory, the greatness of thy majesty, the greatness of thy power. And it is a people here below that will yet experience the greatness of thy salvation, that thou may give to each one of us a need in our hearts, for by nature we have no desire and no need for thee. Thou art in the place of thy glory, and thou hast given unto us thy precious and holy word. And thou knowest the deadness of our hearts, so that we see no form and no comeliness, even in thy dear and thy only begotten Son. Thou hast said of him, in him I am well pleased. He is the express image of thy person. Oh, that thou may give to us blessed views of him, that thou wouldst reveal thyself unto those who have need of thee. Wilt thou bring us to an end of our own selves, our own righteousnesses, that thou wouldst make them unto us as filthy rags. Give us to see ourselves as thou indeed dost see us, that we might need thy salvation, and that we may cry out of the depth of our wretchedness and our misery. For we have heard it also in this morning hour, that thou upholdest all that fall, and thou raisest up those that are bowed down. And thou knowest where they are also in the midst of us. Oh, that thou wouldst look upon us from heaven, thy dwelling place. For it is a warfare here below. And how many fears are living so often in our hearts, that after the things which that we may have experienced in our lives, yet in the end, that we shall still go lost. O Lord, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy, that thou may give to us the leadings of thy Holy Spirit, that we may see more and more of the preciousness of thy grace and of that blessed covenant as sworn between the Father and the Son, so that it is completely finished from thy side, with nothing to be added from the side of thy people. But it needs also to be established in their hearts. O Lord, it is that blessed faith, and that is a gift of God, thy servant did write. And by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, it is the experience of all thy people, and that there is nothing that they can give unto themselves. And therefore the fears are often so many. But could it please thee to look upon us? Oh, that thou wouldst come, Lord, also in this afternoon hour, to give a little courage to those who are discouraged, to open a little of thy word of truth, and to give a little faith to believe, that thou may look upon us when we are still going for our own account. We are born into this world, conceived and born in sin, and we go to a great and never-ending eternity, and we come to meet thee. We have to stand before thee, and thou hast made us so, so good. And it was in thine own eyes, thy holy eyes, thy righteous eyes, that thou didst view the blessed creation, so that of all things, even of a mankind, and thou didst say, behold, it is very good. And thou knowest what we have made ourselves into, so that we are corrupt, from the crown of our heads, to the soles of our feet. O Lord, we lie as those who are cast out in the open field. We are as those that are poured out like water upon the ground, and that is not able to be gathered up again. Oh, could it please thee also in this afternoon hour to look upon us with a little crumb of thy mercy, that thy spirit may be sent from above, to speak and to say thus far and no further, and that we could not walk another day in this world in that way that we have been born. Oh, that thou wouldst make our sin to be a great burden unto us, that we may go over this world with the knowledge of ourselves and the knowledge of thee, and that we may be seeking to know thy precious and thy dear Son. O Lord, that thou would show thyself in the unto thy dear people. Wilt thou look upon all the needy? Thou knowest where that they are. Many needs of the mind in this world. Many needs of the body. It is all created by thee. It all must be upheld by thee. Oh, that thou wouldst give in the in needs of this life, that there may be a cry to the Lord our Creator, to the Lord our Provider, and that we may be given to experience that thou livest, and that thou art the God of the whole universe, that thou wouldst remember those who suffer from addictions. Thou knowest the difficulties each and every day. It is a struggle, it is a warfare. Remember those that are weak, those that are sick, those that are lonely, those that have crosses to bear, which no man knoweth, but all things are known to thee. Wilt thou supply for our nation, our poor, poor nation? Lord, thou knowest the way that we do take. It is a way that is against thee and thy holy word. Oh, that thou wouldst stop us yet, and not let us go our own way, to work out our own destruction, but that thou wouldst have mercy upon us, and turn us yet again, and that thou may look upon our children and our youth, while they are in the days of their youth, and that they may not give their strength unto the world, but that thou wouldst give in the days of their youth a heart to love and to fear thee, that they may choose also with a Daniel, with a Samuel, with a Moses of old, to rather suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Do work with might and power also in those that have become old. Their fears also are so many by times, and they are increasing. For with one foot already they are in the grave, and so many fears can be upon them. A heart that is so hardened. Lord, that thou wouldst hear their cry, and that thou wouldst remember them also in this day, with a little crumb from above, and with the power of thy Spirit to break the hard and the stony heart, and that thou wouldst receive all the honor and all the glory. And wilt thou go before us in this afternoon? Lord, give us a little strength in the weakness of our body to do the labors that thou dost lay upon us. Give us a little insight into thy word of truth, and give us thy Spirit to go forth and to bless this word of truth in the hearts of many. Glorify thyself. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 255, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Now with joyful exultation, let us sing Jehovah's praise to the rock of our salvation. Loud hosannas let us raise. The last collection today is for the Synodical Education Committee, Psalter 255, 1, 2, and 4. beloved congregation, we have marveled at the generosity of the gifts that have been given in the churches in our community on the day of Thanksgiving. It is a wonder that the Lord, He has opened your hearts to do such a thing, which is against our natural inclinations of selfishness, of miserliness, of stinginess. But the wonder that does not begin at your willingness, the wonder that has already begun at your ability. Because without the ability, then we can be willing, but not able to fulfill it. Where does that ability come from? You say that was by the blessing of the Lord. That is true. Because the Lord says in His Word that without His blessing, that a man, he earns wages that he may put it into a bag with holes. But now, with the blessing of the Lord, it has become so different. And yet we ask, was that blessing now upon your diligence, or was it upon your sloth? You say it was not upon our sloth, but it was upon our diligence. And that is right, Solomon. And he says that drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And there is no promise in the Word of God that is connected to sloth, but poverty. Solomon, he says, that he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent that maketh rich. It is very evident that in a natural way that you believe these things and that you practice these things and that you experience these things. But our question this afternoon is, do you also believe, practice, and experience these same things in a spiritual way? Because also the salvation of our soul, and that is connected in the Word of God, not to sloth, but to diligence. Will those who have labored now so diligently and who have given so heartily to the Lord go lost because of sloth for spiritual matters? This we would like to consider in this afternoon, out of the words of our text with the Lord's help. Hebrews 2, the first verse. Hebrews 2, the first verse. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So far, the words of our text. A fervent exhortation. First, the directive in this exhortation. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. That is a directive. Second, the subject of this exhortation, that is, what is it speaking about, these things we read? It is the things which we have heard. We want to hear what they are. And third, the reason for this exhortation, lest at any time we should let them slip. Thus, a fervent exhortation. First, the directive in this exhortation. Second, the subject of this exhortation. And third, the reason for this exhortation. This is congregation and epistle to the Hebrews, that is, the nation that the Apostle Paul has been from. He was sent, we know, to the Gentiles, but we can read that he has a heart and that they bleed for the kinsmen who were his own kinsmen according to the flesh. And so we read that he exhorts them. Exhortations, they come out of a heart of love. He exhorts them out of the love of his heart because they are his kinsmen. And thus we can ask ourselves, do we also exhort one another? How deficient are we in this thing? And why is that? I think it is not because that we do not love one another, but I think it is because we are so worldly, because we are so carnal, and because we are so of this earth, earthy. Paul, he says, exhort one another daily. That means every day. While he says, it is called today, lest that ye be hardened, he says, through the deceitfulness of sin. Therefore, we read, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. To give heed. That is the exhortation, children, to give heed. What does that mean, to give heed? To take heed. That is to think about something. That is to meditate about something. To give it your fullest attention. To give it your consideration. How is that with us? Do we also give heed? Do we also consider? Do we also meditate? Do we ponder the things that we may hear from Sabbath to Sabbath day? On the one hand, a true heed that is not given to these subjects by anyone except for the true church. Because a true heed that is arising out of regeneration, when the Lord, he is raising a man out of his sloth, that he may do, as we read of Lydia, that she gave heed, that she gave attention, she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. That is the work of the Spirit of the Lord. When the Lord gives a man life in his soul, then he receives new ears. Then he receives a new attention. That he is giving ear, that he is hearing, and that he is taking those things away with him to his house, to his inner chamber. And they are staying with him often as he is doing his labors in the household, the mother, the father, in the fields, in the children, in the school. That there is then a heed to the things that are spoken. the Lord Jesus, he said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. There is a saving difference between the heed that we give to a physician when we are either whole or sick. What heed do you give today, boys and girls, to the physician? When you are well, then you pay no attention. You do not consider calling the physician. You say, I do not need him. You are glad he is there, but it is always for someone else, because other people are sick and you are not. But that changes greatly in the day that you begin to have a fever, in the day that you begin to feel the pain, in the day that your mother says, I cannot help you anymore, and your father says, I do not know what is wrong with you. Then you begin to take heed, do you not, of that physician? You understand what we need, boys and girls. We need that the Lord will show to us our wretchedness, our misery. You know that prayer that that minister taught the Highland kitchen maid first to pray, do you not? Show me myself. That is in the first place necessary. Otherwise, we will never truly take heed. On the other hand, this does not take away the responsibility of the natural man, especially when he is living under the callings of the Word of God, and especially in our time when he is living under the callings of the gospel. In our fall, then we have fallen so completely dead in sin and in trespasses. That is true. That a man, he can never take heed. In that fall, our heart that has become corrupt, our will that has become corrupt, but we did not lose our understanding. We did not lose our ability to reason, to think, although that also is somewhat corrupted. And therefore, Paul, he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed. Often we read in the Bible about the importance of considering, that is the same, and also of a very diligent considering, and the danger of inconsideration. The Lord, he says, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. What does he say? Consider it. He says, lay it before you. Bring it in your mind. And not only for a moment, but let it remain there in your mind for some time, that you may ponder it, that you may go over it and over it. Consider this, ye that forget God. The Lord, he says it even concerning his own people. The ox knoweth his master, and the ass his master's crib, but my people doth not consider. Paul, he says, by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith, our young people know, that is the hand by which that deliverance of the Lord is received. Faith. But how can a man believe what he has not considered? How can a man believe what has never even laid before his attention, before his mind. It will not do that we give this just a passing thought. Christ, he says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. What think we of this? Do we think that the Lord Jesus was saying something that was not true? And will we mock with the words of Christ to think that we will be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven without strife? That kingdom of heaven, the Lord Jesus says, that is achieved, that is gotten only through much tribulation. And it is compared by Paul to a man who is running a race. And that man, he has to set beside him all the things that weigh him down. How would you run a race, young people? You are not going to say, well, give me this weight and give me that weight, I will run with them. No, you will put them all off. And so the apostle says that that race also to receive that heavenly prize that is gotten through the putting aside, the laying aside of every weight and that sin that does so easily beset us. Have you begun to run that race? When will we begin to run this race? Do you say, I will begin to run that race tomorrow? Or next month? Or next year? Will it be upon our deathbed that we say it is time to lay aside that sin, that weight that does so easily beset us, all the things that come in the way of that seeking of that prize, time to lay that aside now that we are laying on our deathbed, that we may begin to run that race that is set before us? Do we believe that in this way we are going to receive that heavenly kingdom? You say, I come to church. I read my Bible. I pray in the morning when I get up. I pray in the evening when I go to bed. What will you that I do more? What does Paul say? He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Does not say you. He says we. Thus he includes himself. He says we are not earnest enough. He says we ought to be more earnest, that there ought to be a greater abundance of earnestness, a greater degree of earnestness. Thus, how is that in our life? Is that possible when we will all look within our own heart, when we will all look within our own life? Is that possible that there would be a greater degree of earnestness in our life? Earnestness concerning what? And that is our second thought. The subject of this exhortation, by nature, we are giving earnest heed to many things. But they are all of the earth. They are all natural. They are all things that are passing away. How is it? Let us examine our own life. What are those things that you give earnest heed to, that you give an earnest attention to? What are they, children? You also can die. Do you believe that? What are those things that you give earnest heed to in your life this week that has gone quickly by, has it not? What are those things that you have paid so close attention to? What are those things that you have given so much thought to? Oh, they are so many. And they are one subject when we are young. And we become older and it becomes something else. And when we become older yet, then it is something else again. But what is now the apostle speaking about? He speaks about giving heed to the things which we have heard. What things are they? Well, that is the Word of God. That is the revelation of God. That is what God has spoken. That is what we read. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds. God. God has spoken. It is his own word. And therefore the apostle says, it is the word of God to which we ought to give the more earnest heed. What is the purpose of the speaking of God? What is the purpose of the Word of God? Well, if we begin in Revelation, in Genesis, and we go all the way to Revelation, then we must say that the purpose of that Word is the revelation of Himself. Because man, he has lost the knowledge of God. We heard this morning what kind of knowledge that is necessary for us to know, that true knowledge of Him. But in that word, then He is revealing unto that fallen mankind what? He is revealing unto him His grace. He is revealing unto him His salvation. Do you know what Paul calls it? He calls it so great salvation. And this so great salvation that belongs to the things that we have heard. Is that ever a wonder to you? That we have heard of this so great salvation. Do we realize how many in this world have never heard of this so great salvation? We heard that this past week at the TBS. Probably only about a quarter of the whole world having the Bible in their own language. Can you imagine if you had never heard of this so great salvation? But by nature we do not realize the greatness of this so great salvation that we hear of. We do not attend to it. We have no appreciation for it. No, even worse, we despise it. We neglect it. We turn away from it. So great salvation, Paul says, did he not experience that it was so great salvation? What a salvation he experienced it to be. There is a church with Paul who will say already beginning in this world, what a great salvation that this is. And there is a church above that is singing this day about the greatness of this salvation. when you would ask Paul, what do you think he would say? When you would say, why, Paul? Why is that salvation so great? And you know what he would say to you? He would say to you, because in the first place, it began on the side of the Lord. He will say, because the Lord stopped me when I was running my own way, when I was going in a way of hypocrisy, when I was going in a way of external religion, when I was living as a Pharisee, when I was persecuting the church of God, when I was fighting against the Lord, then the Lord came. Oh, the sovereignty of God, that is a great part of the greatness of that salvation. When it may be seen by that people that they are those who are hopelessly, hopelessly lost, and when they are lying polluted in their own blood, and when they are running away from the Lord, even with all their religion, is that not a great salvation? When the Lord in His love is the first one to say, thus far and no further. Is it not great because of the power of it? Because it is able to raise a man from his spiritual death? What do our fathers say in the canons? A supernatural work, not inferior to the creation itself or the resurrection of the dead. Oh, do you ever feel that? How dead that you are, that you would say, that is a great salvation, that could break such a heart as my heart, that could raise such a dead man as I am? A great salvation. Why? Because of the power of the law. Because, Paul says, I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Is that not a great salvation? When that law of God that is able to shoot an arrow in our heart, so the man would be as him who was struck between the joints of the harness, that would have to say, carry me out of the battle, for I am sore wounded. Is anything else in the world, any words of a man, able to work such a change in the life of a man? Oh, so great salvation, Paul says. Why? Because of what it delivers a man from. That it delivers a man from the wrath of God. That it delivers a man from the curse. Oh, do you ever stop and think, congregation? Do you ever stop to give heed? Because the apostle says we ought to give more earnest heed. Do we stop to think about where we are going? When we are still in the state in which we have been born? Where is our end? What would you expect when we had to die today? What must we say then as a minister at your funeral? Is that not a great salvation that is able to deliver a man from that eternal death? Is that not a great salvation that is able to deliver a man from what the Lord Jesus says is a weeping and a gnashing of teeth? Is that not a great salvation that is able to deliver a man from outer darkness, to deliver a man from the bottomless pit, a pit that is without a bottom? Is that not a great salvation that is able to deliver a man from the fire of eternal vengeance? So great salvation. Do we ever take heed, give heed to this salvation, to our need for this salvation? So great salvation. Not only for what it delivers a man from, but what it brings a man unto. Is that not a great salvation that is able to bring a man who has sinned against God back into his communion, that he may dwell with him forever? Is that not a great salvation that is able to bring into his holy presence a man who is from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores? Is that not a great salvation that is able to wipe away all tears from the eyes of a man, so that there is no more death, neither sorrow nor crying or any more pain, because the former things are passed away? Is that not a great salvation? Is it not a great salvation because it is thought out by the Father himself? Thought out by the eternal divine mind for his own honor and glory? Thought out in a way wherein he maintains all of his own attributes, wherein he can save a guilty man and still be glorified in his justice? Mercy and truth met together, righteousness and peace kissed each other. Is that not a great salvation? Is it not a great salvation because it has been completed by his own Son? Is it not great because it has drawn the Son, that divine being, from the very holy heavens, brought him in a way of humility to this sin-cursed earth, willing to give himself as a sacrifice for sin, willing to suffer, willing to stand in the place of those who had sinned against the Lord? Is it not a great salvation which has been bought by such a great price, even the blood of the Son of God? Is that not a great salvation that is now so free? So free. What do you receive in this world free? They say in this world you get what you pay for. So if you pay nothing, you get nothing. It is worthless. And yet this great salvation that is so free, and that it is proclaimed to those who are poor, that it is proclaimed to those who have no money, that have no price. Is that not a great salvation? Oh, is it not great because it is so complete? It is so complete. Everything finished and everything provided for. All the guilt taken away. Paul, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, did you ever look at the words of the Lord Jesus written in that word, in that revelation? But he says unto that man, my son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, did you ever say to the Lord, Lord, will you speak also those words to my soul? Oh, did you ever desire such a great salvation for your own soul? And not only so, a salvation wherein the Lord, He is giving unto a man a new life, a new nature, a new ability, new love, new desires, faith. Is that not a great salvation that can change a man, renew his heart? Is that not a great salvation that can cleanse a man from all his iniquity? As Paul says, O wretched man that I am, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is that not a great salvation that is so, so full? Or even the smallest experience of that salvation that is giving so much rest and so much peace already in the heart and in the life of that people as a foretaste of what is coming in the end that they are going to receive from the Lord, that blessed, blessed inheritance, O congregation. Is this not a great salvation? Who is able really to describe it? We can say it with so many words, but the reality is so much greater than we can say it to me, to be. And now these are the things that we have heard. We have heard of them. These are the things that our parents have told us from when we were very young. These are the things that have come to our ears. These are the things that the Apostle Paul, he says, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to them. And why? That is our last thought. Let us sing 425, stanza 3. Seek ye Jehovah and His power. Seek ye His presence every hour. His works so marvelous and great. Remember still and meditate upon the wonders of His hands. The judgments which His mouth commands, stanza 3 of 425. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. What does that mean? That is actually a figure. It speaks about letting something slip. But in the original language, it is also a figure. But it has to do with water. And there are actually two possibilities. And we will say what both of those possibilities are. In the first place, it could be that it is speaking about a vessel that is, boys and girls, just full of holes. So when you put water in a vessel, in a bucket that is full of holes, what is going to happen to that water? You say it is going to flow out. That is right. And then it will be gone. And thus the apostle, then he says that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest it be like pouring water in a bucket, and that we lose everything, that it just slips away from us out of that bucket. There is another possibility for the explanation. And that is that it is as a ship that is on the water, and that ship that is seeking to come into a certain harbor. But due to the violence of the flowing of the water, that it is pushing that ship beyond the harbor. So then the words, they actually mean to flow by. To flow by and actually to miss the place where we had intended to come. Either way, whatever that exact meaning may be, the Apostle Paul, he is exhorting to a present attention. A present attention, lest that we lose something that we can never, ever regain again. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Once they have slipped away, once we are past that harbor, then there is no reaching that harbor anymore. And what are those things then that will have slipped away from us? Paul says, so great salvation, never to be returned. For, he says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Paul speaks about the word that was spoken by angels. We can read that in the whole first chapter of Hebrews. That word spoken by angels was that word that was spoken unto Israel at Mount Sinai. Because you can read when Stephen was being stoned, or just before that he was stoned, that he speaks and that he says that law that was given by the disposition of angels. Thus, we believe that there were angels that were used as instruments for the giving of that law at Sinai. Angels. Creatures, created beings of the Lord. And he says, now if the angels had spoken that word on behalf of God at Sinai, and they are only created beings, but even when they did speak, every transgression and disobedience received its just recompense of reward. Every transgression and disobedience was punished, as when they ate the quails, as when they picked up sticks on the Sabbath day, children, then they had to be stoned. Every transgression, you read it in the Word of God, of the law of God. Do you believe that every transgression and thought and word and deed is going to receive its just recompense of reward? Only read the Word of God. But now, he says, the Lord himself spake. Now the Lord himself came from heaven. He came into this world. And he spake unto the people. No man, we read, spake like this man. Then he did not come with the law. No, that was given beforehand, sent before him. Moses gave that law, that the people, they would be waiting for Christ, that they would be looking for that deliverance. And now Christ, he comes with that deliverance. He comes with that word of the gospel. And now his word, we read, that was confirmed by them that heard him. That was confirmed by the apostles. Many signs and miracles and wonders of mercy, they were performed. So he says, if now the word that was spoken by angels was steadfast, and every disobedience and transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape so great salvation when we have heard it from the Lord himself? Paul speaks about the increase of the responsibility of those who are under the administration of the gospel to hear of that salvation. And he says, to neglect it. What is that? That is not to pay attention to it. Not to give heed to it. Not even to think about it. Not to meditate upon it. Christ, he also spoke about this increased responsibility when he said, those that know the Lord's will and prepare not themselves and neither walk according to his will, they shall be beaten with many stripes. Thus, the increased responsibility of those who are sitting under not only the administration of the law, but also under the administration of the gospel. And therefore, Paul says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Any time. Any moment. What is now that moment that they are going to slip out of our hands? What is now that moment? Know we our life for one day, for one moment, for one hour? And now that great salvation, Paul says, that we have heard with our ears, for our neglect and for our lack of meditation, that is going to slip away from us. Oh, how depraved is our natural heart. Giving heed to all the things which are natural. Neglecting all the things that are spiritual. Giving heed to all the things that are temporal of this earth. Neglecting all the things that are eternal forever and forever. giving heed to the things that are earthly, neglecting the things that are heavenly. Oh, can we put our hand in our bosom and take it out clean? For this, we will go lost with our children. You say, maybe, how does a man do that? To give more earnest heed, even in a natural way. Paul, he says to Timothy that the Holy Scriptures, they are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That is, as those Scriptures are blessed and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Never think that we can receive true conversion in a natural way. Never think that we can receive true conversion outside of the most powerful work of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. There's only one thing we can do. That's to make a Pharisee out of ourselves. A hypocrite out of ourselves. You may give heed to what you may read so often in the Word of God. That cry of the true church of God. Lord, teach me. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. That is in the first place. But the apostle says we ought to give the more earnest thing, the more earnest heed to the things that are spoken. Oh, seek to receive clear apprehensions of God. Of the glory of God, of the majesty of God, the attributes of God, His justice, His righteousness, His holiness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His mercy, His grace. Give heed more earnest heed. Let these doctrines dwell before your mind. Let them dwell for more than a fleeting moment. Give yourself wholly, the apostle says, to these things. Give more earnest heed to the divine original of the Word, the divine origin of the Word. Consider it. How did that holy book is so different from every book that is in this world? Read the prophecies. Read the fulfillments. And be so convinced in your soul that it is not the Word of man, but that it is the Word of God. Take heed to the sublimity of the contents of that Word of God. Give more earnest heed to our own origin. Where did we have come from? Will you not meditate upon your purpose? Why has God made us? Will you not meditate upon the grief of heaven? When the Lord says that it repented him that he had made man on the earth and that it grieved him at his heart, that your heart may be broken, when you may feel something of your great inability to serve that God anymore. Give more earnest heed to the depth of our fall. How deeply how far away that we have fallen from Him. Created in His image. And now we are little above the beasts. Give more earnest heed to your wretchedness. Give more earnest heed to your misery. Our fathers say in the catechism, how great our sins and miseries are. Do not look to minimize it. Do not look to come by it. Do not look to blame the Lord. But receive that word out of the Word of God. Give more earnest heed to His commandments, to His statutes, to His law, to your life, to your thoughts, words, deeds. Say, O Lord, bring that law in my heart. Bring it with power, that it may convict me of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Give more earnest heed to that coming punishment that is certainly coming to us and to our children. We live as fools in this world. We are going on and on in all the temporal things. And we do not realize that any moment that we can drop into hell. And if that word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, oh, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, give heed, more earnest heed to the goodness of the Lord. Let that be before your mind. The blessings of the Lord, not only the temporal blessings, the spiritual blessings, that word that we may hear, that it may break our hard and stony heart. Meditate upon the Son, the sending of the Son by the Father. Give heed to the willingness of the Son to come into this world and to give Himself as a sacrifice. More earnest heed, congregation, to the greatness of this salvation, that it may draw us away from this world, that we may consider it, and that we may feel more and more and more how great that this salvation is, and how so very poor is everything that our heart is seeking and going out after in this world. Give heed, more earnest heed, to the promise of the Lord, to that blessed full and free forgiveness, despite all the height, the mountain of guilt, and the great wretchedness of our own hearts. Give heed, beseech the Lord. Say, Lord, have dealings with my soul. Make room for thy Son. Reveal him in my heart. Wrestle with Jacob. Say, O Lord, I do not deserve it, but I will not let thee go, except that thou wilt bless me. Oh, there is such a great salvation to be gained. There is such a great salvation to be had. A treasure worth more than everything that we can find here below. And there is such a great salvation to be lost. To be lost to slip away from us. Eternity will reward a man for laying aside every weight and that sin that does so easily beset him, for giving heed, more earnest heed, to the things that he has heard. But, O congregation, how shall we ever escape if we neglect so great salvation? Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, it is the exhortation of thy servant. It comes from thee, for thou hast inspired him to speak that word. Oh, it comes to us this day. We are fools. We live in our deadness. Waken us, O Lord. Send forth thy spirit and give thy word place in this day, that we may go home from this place with an arrow in our heart, and that we may be given truly to give more earnest heed unto the things that we have heard with our children, lest that we should at any time let them slip. Oh, that they may not slip away from us and our loved ones. Lord, remember us. Wilt thou forgive all our sins? Wash us in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Bring us safely home. Help us with the labors of this week. We may acknowledge thee for bringing us through in this hour. Could it please thee, if it is thy will, to strengthen us further, that we may do our work. Lord, bless thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 432, all the stanzas. God, Jehovah, reigns. His are all domains. Tremble at his word, peoples who have heard of the power of him who mid cherubim his great throne has taken. Let the earth be shaken. 1 through 4 of 432. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.